Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Get the shortened 50-minute version of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. I nodded off, and I did not wake up in time to start on time. But anyways, you want to call in 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us at sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so swing on there and check out the one that went up on Saturday. If you haven't done that, that would be appreciated. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, great. You know, we would appreciate that. What else do you do here? Oh, yeah, the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, well, you know, let's jump in, Dan. I honestly thought that you would forget to send me your players and pitchers of the week with everything going on and, you know, with football starting and all that other stuff. But you were right on top of it, so why don't you unveil your picks for us, then we can go down that road first.
Well, the AL batter of the week is your favorite rookie candidate of the year. In five games last week, he had 19 at-bats. Crossed the plate eight times with nine hits, a double, a triple, four home runs, 10 RBIs, four walks, a strikeout of five, two stolen bases while being caught twice. I mean, this guy potentially did everything you could do on the diamond batting, and that's Shohei Ohtani. Did you like that performance last week?
Yeah, maybe I should have just stayed asleep.
The NL hitter of the week on the other spectrum of the country. He was in six games, crossed the plate six times, seven hits, only two doubles with two home runs, but he had seven RBIs with 12 walks, which I just thought was totally impressive. And that was Bryce Harper, your favorite guy. But
actually, like Bryce Harper, I'm okay there.
Yeah. Keeping with the Nationals, the National League Pitcher of the Week. He's won this award way too many times, but what the hell? With 1-0 with two games started, 16 innings pitched, with 22 strikeouts, is Max Scherzer. You know, Robbie Ray and Rich Hill were in the mix, but you know, he just beat him out. While the game I attended yesterday featured Andrew Heaney, who had a pretty comparable to White Sox pitcher Ronaldo Lopez. I went with Ronaldo Lopez, even though he didn't get a win, but he didn't get a loss last week, but he still struck out 16 and only gave up one earned run on a home run with only three walks. I don't know. It was kind of one of those weeks. For AL pitching, but you know, I think he's coming out to be with the White Sox number one. But sadly, I'm sure if he gets traded, he'll pull a Quintana on us.
Only if they trade him to the Cubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how it works out. Only if he goes to the Cubs. So, well, look at this. There's only three more weeks left in the season for you to have to make picks. So
yeah, well, don't forget about the playoffs. And speaking of that, there's only three more weeks left. Did you make the the playoffs in fantasy baseball? Because I landed in 15th place in both leagues.
I made them in one league, and in the other league I was actually in. I was hanging on to the eighth spot, and I got my head kicked in the last 2 weeks and fell to 11. So, yeah, I'm in one, but not in the other. So.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. Just to, you know, finish off my whining about losing in fantasy, I don't know how you did, but both in Yahoo and in FanDuel, the survival, NFL survival, my season's over. I hope yours is better because I went with who I thought was going to have a for sure win with the Titans, and they lost to Miami.
On FanDuel, I selected Pittsburgh, figuring that they could easily go into Cleveland and get a win. And, as you know, that did not go my way. While they didn't lose the game, they didn't win the game either. So, I went away there rather quickly.
Oh, so a tie, you're eliminated also?
Yeah, you're the team you pick has to win. Otherwise, you go bye-bye, and I was just kind of like, go. Okay, well, I guess I am done with this already. So, on the plus side, in the football league, I managed to win both games, but like I had mentioned earlier, the 1 week was basically a bye for me because it was they didn't show up for the draft, and that's pretty much the end of it when they don't show up. I think they scored like 50 points. So even though I didn't have a great week, I'm going to cruise there. And the other game was more competitive, but I'm going to get a win there. So yeah, fantasy wise, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to start out 2-0, so that's not too bad in football. But yeah, a little disappointed that my baseball team is, my one team is going home, and then extremely disappointed that the Steelers choked it off and couldn't beat the Browns yesterday. But I guess I should have expected that. But before we get into our takes on the NFL, what we learned from the first big Sunday. I had a little problem over the weekend that really kind of bothered me, and I'm not sure if you saw this or caught the highlights of this. Did you see the Serena Williams issue in the U.S. Open?
I just saw pictures and caught headlines. To me, it seems like with what was going on, she was a sore loser.
Yeah, well, it was a weird situation because it was more of one of those, this oddly enough, this guy is called an umpire. He's the chair umpire, just kind of like in baseball. It was kind of one of these things where he decided to enforce the rule at probably the worst possible time because it's something that happens time. And all of a sudden, for some reason, he decided this was the time he was going to be like, oh, yeah, well, we're gonna enforce this rule in a major tournament. And, obviously it doesn't mean that, she was going to go on to win or anything, but – it was just a guy who I think might have wanted a little attention or something like that, and he decided this was going to be the way to get it. And it just kind of bothers me when these guys do this. I had never really noticed it until things were pointed out to me, but apparently Doug Eddings does the same thing in Major League Baseball, where he's kind of like, oh, well, this is my show or my whatever, and I'm going to do it this way. And what's odd is I noticed that after the announcers pointed out that he always takes off his mask so you can see his face so you know who he is. And it literally seemed like a guy who kind of, because this is a major tournament. I mean, if you would have done it at one of the other events, I mean, nobody would even be talking about it because she was you know, correct. You know, he was correct. It was the right call. But, it, you know, it's just you don't make it there because it's one of those rules that they kind of let slide. And it was just like, really, now you decide to make this call? Give me a break. So it was like, hey, thanks for ruining an event. So, but, yeah, it was just like, oh, there you go.
Well, I mean, calling him a thief. funny.
Well, yeah, you know, I think the only people he robbed were the viewers. You know, anybody who was watching it. I just happened to, to kind of catch what was going on, and I was like, oh, okay, this is something interesting here. What's happening here? So, if you were watching it or you were invested in it, I'm sure it felt like you were being ripped off.
Yeah, I mean, I actually enjoy watching tennis, but, with what we do and all the other sports, it's kind of hard to keep up with. But at the same time, for me, you know, knowing that it's her and her sister for what it seems like the last 10, 20 years almost, you know, it gets a little boring when it's the same two people, you know, battling it out every single year. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it does seem lately, you know, things are kind of, coming back where there are a few more competitors on the women's side. So, you know, that's definitely a big plus for tennis. It's not going to make me watch it anymore or anything like that. But, you know, it's just, I just thought it was kind of interesting that I was like, oh. Okay, here we go. This will be, you know, this will make a wonderful headline for a long time.
Yeah, well, and you brought up Major League Baseball referees, and you know, one of the things I like about listening to our local guys on Sunday morning or afternoon, and you know, it's actually two guys that I normally I don't like their opinions. They actually annoy the hell out of me. Because, you know, whatever. But I totally agree with them on, you know, with the way Major League Baseball is and Joe West. They actually have Bob Brenly on hanging out with them, you know, over the phone on Sunday. And, you know, even Brenly's under the impression that, you know, guys like Joe West need to get away from the game. And, you know, the consensus was that it's kind of crap that, you know, some of these umpires, once they get in, and they're in, you know, so much so the good graces that they're pretty much in for life like a judge. And, you know, where Joe West's body is ailing and can't keep up with, you know, the physical conditions, it's kind of crap he's out there. But Brenly also mentioned that, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, because I agree with him that with the technology we have today, that it's not long before you just, I don't think you eliminate the umpire behind the plate, but I think you eliminate the umpire's balls and strikes, and it might not be long before, you know, maybe the whole umpire game is not eliminated but completely redone because he factored in the fact that, you know, almost 50% of instant replay reviews go to the winner, or the team who challenged. So there's a lot of that human error that's being wrong. And, you know, that was a thing that was brought up too, you know, that, you know, everyone wants the human aspect of the game. Well, the human aspect of the game is the players, not the umpires who want to make the game about them. So I kind of agree with that. And, you know, the further we get into it, I kind of lean in that way that maybe, you know, having just not a robot, but the view done by computer. We have it on TV.
Yeah, humorously, you mentioned Joe West, and I was watching Arizona, and I forgot who they were playing. It might have been Atlanta. I'm not sure if that was the weekend series or not. And the Diamondbacks were trying to turn a double play, and the throw completely pulls Goldschmidt off first base. It pulls him up up the right field line. And now, you know, if you're just a casual viewer, you can tell that he's off the base and the runner is safe. Joe West calls him out. And it was kind of like, okay, what the hell were you watching there? Luckily, the crew chief, I believe Doug Eddings was the crew chief, he went over and just overruled them, so they didn't even have to go to replay. But this was one of those things that was so blatantly obvious that I would love to know if maybe he wasn't paying attention, or, you know, like you said, you know, his body was breaking down. Maybe he was out of position and he just couldn't get there because, you know, it was the attempted double play. But yeah, you know, in situations like that, because, you know, I mean, because, you know, there was no way this guy was going to admit that he was wrong. You know, he'd have thrown everybody out of the game before he would have admitted that he had gotten that call incorrect. So, yeah, you know, with guys like that, I believe they need to come up with something. But, you know, again, sadly, we're talking about a guys who are in, you know, in a pretty good union who defends them, you know, quite vigorously. So I don't know. But, yeah, I think you're right. We probably are headed to seeing some kind of, let's call it, electronically enhanced umpiring in the future. But I would actually kind of, I don't know, would you
like that to
kind of take of the game?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, it would definitely take the arguments with the coach, you know, and the balls and strikes. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest, there's been times where players have been thrown out of the game on a really bad call just because they, you know, told the umpire he's full of crap and so many nice words. And, you know, like Eric Burns has brought up in the past, and, you know, I mean, it's high time we kind of get away from that. I'm not saying you eliminate the umpire position completely, but with the technology we have, do we even need an umpire calling the balls and strikes? I mean, you remember sitting down in South Bend and the computer tracking the pitches that they had going on there was just amazing. I didn't know they had that kind of technology. And we're talking about single A. You know, this was a single A team. This is not the Cubs. I don't think you can eliminate the umpires completely off the field. But I do think you can eliminate the umpire behind the plate, not from behind the plate, but calling the balls and strikes.
So yeah, you know, it's definitely like, you know, like I said, I won't be surprised if we're headed that way. I mean, I don't think it's anything that's going to happen soon, but I, you know what, you figure maybe 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah, I'm hoping maybe the next CBA that it could be, you know, a major talking point. But if not, then definitely 10 years. I think what year is this? By the 2030 season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still thinking it's like 2008.
So, but, yeah, all right. Well, you know, I did want to tell you, Dan, if you're, you know, I know you're always kind of on the prowl for that next job. I wanted to tell you, though, if you get hired in the town of Kenner City, Louisiana, that they will not buy Nikes for you. And they're not buying them for any of their city programs. That includes, you know, anything, the, you know, booster clubs or anything like that for kids. The mayor there is a gentleman by the name of Ben Zahn, and he has banned the use of Nike products by the city.
Well, good thing I'm not at the end.
You did what? So I thought that was kind of odd or kind of interesting or however you want to look at that one. But yeah, he kind of stepped in and said, hey, this ain't gonna happen. So
well,
So, but we did manage to get through the bulk of week one. We do still have two games left. We got the Jets and the Lions, which will be kicking off in a little bit here, and then we've got the Raiders and the Rams. Actually, I think it's Rams at Raiders, but whichever way you want to look at it, they're getting ready to go here real quick. Dan actually spent some time at the White Sox game yesterday. Now, yeah, even though it was week one, he's still hanging out with baseball. How much football did you get? And did you what was your take? I'm sure you got the well. I know you got to watch a bulk of that Sunday night game because we were tweeting about it. Surprisingly, with Mr. Fantasy, I'm sure you like I almost had a heart attack when you saw that tweet come up. But what was your takeaway on week one so far?
Well, first of all, I went to the wrong game. I should have went Saturday night when Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout lit the place up, 12-3. Yeah, yesterday was definitely a pitcher's duel. And, you know, to be honest, to get to see Ronaldo Lopez and his performance over the last, couple of weeks, it's like, well, this kid's pretty picking it up. So I think despite the White Sox Michael Kopech issue, I think you're going to have still some fun or positivity next year with the White Sox. I was disappointed, though, to see Ohtani not hit a home run or Mike Trout not hit a home run. But, yeah, so after that, most of my intake on the NFL was, checking my fantasy teams, which hopefully turn out to be better. Mr. Fantasy stopped me. And even with the guys I have going tonight, I don't think it's going to make a difference. Although I didn't start Ted Ginn Jr., Jim, whatever, which may have helped me out a little bit, but, yeah. So that sucks, but I think I think we went through this last year where it was like what you thought you knew about the NFL, you had no freaking clue because I don't think many of the, many of the games turned out the way I thought it was. And, you and I talked about survival between Yahoo and FanDuel. And, I mean, I learned from years prior, you definitely want to try to go who you think is going to be the for sure win, even though picking a team like the Patriots or even the Vikings yesterday, I knew they were going to win. But, I really thought that Tennessee was just going to not dominate Miami, but just go in there and win. And I was eliminated from both survival. So, again, I have no idea what the hell going on when it comes to the NFL, especially in week one.
Yeah, I did find it quite humorous that I don't remember which announcer it was or which former player it was, but I had the NFL Network on. I was just watching some of the highlights from the games that I didn't get. And the guy came on and said his biggest takeaway from week one was the fact that coaches need to start playing their guys more in preseason because he was very disappointed with the level of play. And, you and I mean, you especially, you've been pointing out now that basically the first couple of weeks of the regular season is still preseason. And
yeah.
Finally, you get some support from somebody who's not is actually kind of on board with you there. So, I thought that was kind of interesting that you saw a lot of the stuff that you and I had been seeing for years now. So, I was quite surprised by that.
Well, and it reminds, the Bears game especially reminds me of that that one Super Bowl with the Patriots. Was it the Patriots when, or maybe it was Peyton Manning, I don't remember which one it was, where, the whatever team was completely down, and it didn't really matter to them. They just kept their composure and turned around and ended up winning the Super Bowl. I think it was the Patriots, but, that showed last night, and I mean, all we heard about, especially over the last week here in Chicago, is how, Matt Nagy is going to unleash and unveil all these never-before-seen plays. Kind of reminded me of a guy we once knew who had the best opening for a wrestling match you've ever seen in your entire life that no one's ever seen, and it more or less flopped. And, I mean, it was exciting, you know, to watch something that you never thought you were going to see here again in Bears. You know, watch not only the defense be there, but the offense at the same time. And then you watch it just completely fall apart. I mean, 3rd and 1, and you basically go into a shotgun. Or, you know, the passing game was working for you. So instead of going to the passing game and they're totally clogging up the middle, you're going to go back to the run. And it just took me back to why I kind of stopped having interest in the Bears. Was he gave us something exciting to start with and then went back to the same old crap where, you know, it was like the preseason game I went to. It was so much fun in the first half to see this Bears team winning. And then all of a sudden, they lose the third stringers, completely lose the game in the second half. And, I mean, the Bills starting team, I mean, they lost, what, 40-3 yesterday to Baltimore?
47.
I mean, so they came out, yeah, they came out yesterday a complete joke, and yet that joke of a team, you know, in week 4 of preseason just came back and beat the Bears. So, I mean, I'm sure that gives you some high hopes next Monday. I think since it finally fits my daughter, we may as well just throw her in that Seahawks outfit because, you know, the Bears ain't going to win, which, to be honest, it finally does fit.
So yeah, the biggest concern I think you need to have if you're a Bears fan is the fact that they couldn't do anything with the football unless there was some kind of trickery involved. You know, when they just tried to line up and play straight football, it didn't happen. So that's, you know, that has to be incredibly disconcerting if you're a Bear fan, because they're, you know, it's difficult to win when everything you do has to be a gimmick. You know, you need to be able to line up on 3rd and 1 and just kind of power your way to a first down at times. And this team doesn't look like they can do that. You know, everything's got to be a trick. Everything's got to be, you know, some kind of gimmick or shtick to it when it comes to that. And, yeah, it's going to be a little strange.
Well, I mean, the positive is I think Trubisky's can be a pretty good quarterback. You know, how can you really tell after one game this season? Still think he's very young and he's got a lot to learn. And I mean, look at the difference between the composure between he and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers won a game on one leg essentially.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, you know, that's definitely, you know, he has time to grow and, you know, just all that other, you know, all that other stuff that kind of comes along with being, you know, quarterback. So it's, you know, I think he'll be just fine. You know, like I said, it was just more the thing that I was really frightened about, the fact that if they weren't lining up in some gimmicky play formation, they couldn't do anything with the football.
Well, you've got to wonder also with veteran team like the Packers and even next week with the Seahawks, the Bears may be able to surprise the Seahawks in the first half, but is it going to be the same thing next Monday where the Seahawks completely figure them out by second half? I mean, Cleo Mack, he can't be the whole defense. And, I mean, he was pretty much shut down in the second half, not on his own demise, but because of the Packers. I mean, they just totally switched their game up.
So, yeah, then you also have to wonder how much of it was him being gassed because, you know, he didn't have a training camp. So, you know, you do wonder if that had any effect on him. I know on that long reception, you know, he was the last guy with a chance to make the tackle and ended up flat on his back in the end zone just looking like, you know, looking like he was just done. So, you know, it's going to take a little while for him to get fully in shape. But, obviously he was one of the positives. You know, there were a lot of good things the Bears could, you know, can look at coming out of that game. The end result is just a joke. Aaron Rodgers, you don't blow a 20-point lead.
Well, and you mentioned that last play with Khalil Mack. He shouldn't even have gone that far. Whoever, was it Randall Cobb? I don't remember who got that reception. But yeah, Whoever had that reception should have been tackled already. Khalil Mack should have never even been in there, been out that far. So, I mean, shows that he doesn't give up. And I think he's a great addition to the team, but like you said with that other reporter, you know, maybe if this team, and I guess you can't really say anything about Matt because he was signed with the last week, but maybe if these starters, you're worried about playing the starters more so than who's going to make the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Jerry Jones has it right. We need to just eliminate this crap and put it down to two games. I mean, then I'll only get to go to one preseason game for free, but, you know, maybe it'll work out better.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there were some games, I mean, like, you know, Buffalo doesn't look like it's ready for the season. You know, they like you mentioned, they got completely destroyed. The first game I got to see part of was Cincinnati and Indianapolis, and neither of them looked really ready to play football. They still look like they're working out some of the things. And yeah, it's just, you know, it makes it tough to watch. I mean, by the time the Cowboy-Panthers game rolled around, I didn't even want to watch it. You know, then you got my two favorite guys announcing it. You know, I couldn't get far enough away from that game. So,
I don't know. I mean, if the Bears had been the first game of the day, I don't know if I would have, you know, if I were home and they were the noon. Well, I think I would have stuck through with it because the Packers did win it in, like, the last 2 minutes of the game. But, I mean, you know, that was the thing when we went to the preseason games. Once the Bills scored that last touchdown and the Bears had the opportunity and they lost the opportunity, we just got up and while the remaining, you know, 5,000 or 10,000 people that were still there waiting to finish out the game, you know, we got the head start on getting out of the stadium. But, I mean, it was pretty much a disappointment. And I could see why back in the 80s when my dad was, gambling on football, why the NFL could really turn your mood from really positive to just stay the hell away from me. I'm glad we do all this for free.
Definitely a not a way to make a living there.
Mm-hmm.
No. But
and Jacksonville was kind of disappointing to me, even though they won.
Yeah, you know, sadly, that's just kind of Jacksonville as a whole when it comes to, offense or, you know, the way they play. And, you know, not a whole lot you can.
I do have to ask you, since you were eliminated from survival because of your Pittsburgh Steelers pick, I am so glad I thought of this. when I was doing the snake draft. Only Mr. Fantasy were here to rebuttal this, but he's not. I picked up Le'Veon Bell's backup, and he gave me 40 points.
Yeah. So, well, that was, you know, that was a smart move because it's looking now like we may not see Bell for a while.
Is that now? And I went and asked you that. Like, how does that work out? And, you know, last week we were under the impression that despite the amount of money that Le'Veon Bell has, who the hell still wants to turn down $900,000+? Well, now we know who is just walking away from that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was.
Is this holdout going to be much longer?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there were guys yesterday talking about the fact that he may hold out till week 11 because that's the longest he can stay out without losing credit for the season. So we'll kind of have to wait and see. You know, what goes on, but, you know, if they have another game like they did Sunday, he's going to lose his locker room really quickly. You know, because when you're tying teams like the Browns, who are an improved team, but shouldn't be anywhere close to a team like the Steelers, that's an issue.
Well, and, you know, and I'm sure for you, when you were going through survival, you're going, who's the for sure win? And you're like, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw Pittsburgh at Cleveland. And even on the road, I was like, oh, okay, they'll be able to still pick up this win. You know, didn't think it would be a problem at all. And, yeah, okay.
You know, and my thought with Pittsburgh was, well, I'm going with a for sure win with Tennessee. And Pittsburgh's got another game against Cleveland later on that I could definitely hone in on. Well, now I don't have anything because I've been eliminated week one, which sucks. So, I mean, again, I don't know, is it that we really don't know anything about the NFL or we're back into the same saga like we talked about last year where the teams are still trying to figure out who the hell they are, except for the Packers.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the Patriots. The sad part for me is I was going to get beat one way or the other because my second choice was New Orleans. So I wasn't going to advance no matter what. You know, that was just kind of done. But, yeah, you know, a lot of it goes back to, you know, like we were talking about earlier, teams just aren't ready to, you know, to be playing games that count. So, you know, it was, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those situations. And, you know, like for, you know, obviously for you and I, you know, it cost us our survival pools. And, you know, I'm sure Pittsburgh cost a lot of people money. And so did New Orleans, unless you bet the over because they just kept scoring points. So, here's your quick first update, Dan. The first pass Sam Darnold throws in his NFL career is intercepted and returned for a touchdown. Yeah, Detroit's leading 7-0.
Too bad that wasn't special. Oh, no, I have their defense, so that's good.
There you go. So yeah, that was kind of an inauspicious beginning, but I'm sure he'll be fine. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, I gotta tell you, you know, I wasn't thrilled or super excited like Mr. Fantasy was going into week one, and yesterday didn't really do anything to change my mind.
So I sat there and watched the entire Bears game with my father-in-law, mind you, who's boycotting the NFL and boycotting Nike. You notice I didn't say Nike. He's boycotting the NFL and Nike. And it's a travesty that they don't show the national anthem. But I kept telling him, you know, the Bears don't kneel. But that doesn't matter. Oddly, during the entire first half when the Bears were just looking like this new awesome team that we've never seen, I've never seen, all he kept sitting there saying, and I'm like, this is a grumpy-ass old man. Oh, they're going to screw it up. You know, he was definitely the pinnacle of the Indian fan the entire game.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it was at the end when he goes, see, I told you they'd screw it up. He was completely right the entire time.
Oh, God, that's funny. So, yeah, they looked like, you know, for about, you know, a little into the third quarter, they looked like a fantastic team, and it just all went to you-know-what. So, you know, and you just, yeah, you kind of wonder, you know, what happened or how they couldn't make the adjustment. I mean, obviously, you know, the Packers get a lot of credit for being able to, you know, make that comeback. Yeah, you know, 20 points down is a big deal. You know, I mean, you got to remember, it was 20-0. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I wasn't overly thrilled with, you know, anything yesterday. I mean, obviously, you know, the Ravens looked fantastic scoring 47 points, but now you got to question who the Bills are. You know, I mean, it's just the fact that they stunk. So, you know, and somehow, you know, well, everybody but you actually did pretty decent in picks. You had a terrible, terrible start. So, but, yeah, and, like, you know, even FanDuel, I think I scored 146 points, but I didn't win any money. So I'll be interested to see how Mr. Fantasy does. I was actually thinking about calling him, but I don't know if he would answer the phone if we called him as a guest. He may not recognize the number. No.
You never know.
I don't know. Let's try it and see if he'll pick up the phone for us. I'm willing to bet he doesn't, but that's okay. No. This is exciting. Do live.
My nephew, he's a DraftKings kid, and he did this nice little three-man tournament where he was about to win like $15. I have to ask him tomorrow if he won it all, but yeah, he was driving himself nuts because he kept checking scores like every half hour. He's like, "What the hell?"
0-7-6-9. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
I don't think you can answer.
Well, you know, we called because, you know, I was figuring you called into Sports Time Radio at the start to tell us how you did. I was running a little late, so I guess we'll talk to you later. Say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye. should have just left it going. We could have just finished.
Yeah.
He could have listened to us.
We could finish the show on his voicemail. Yeah, I didn't think of that. So, but yeah, that fantasy stuff can make you nuts. That's why I'll be interested to see how this season goes. Because I don't know if you've been listening on Sundays, but, you know, Mr. Fantasy made a big commitment to football, and he's playing, I think, up to like 20 leagues on FanDuel this year. You know, all varying degrees of price and difficulty. So he's into it, and, you know, obviously he got off to a good start on Thursday night. So yeah, I would be interested to know how he ended up doing yesterday.
I do have a revelation that I found out yesterday for you. The year that my brother-in-law and the Hawk, you know, went into the finals and, you know, basically it was one against the other.
Yeah,
my nephew, my wife's nephew, whatever, I was telling, we were talking about that. I was like, yeah, you know, me and my friend were talking about, well, I mean, he was talking about, Big Jack was talking about how in, you know, 100 million years of fantasy football, he's never had two guys make it to the finals and quit. And he's like, he's laughing. And I go, you know, your dad beat the Hawk and he quit. We just couldn't get it. He's like, yeah, I try to get my dad into fantasy again, but he just keeps telling me he doesn't have time. And so then I brought up, you know, about him quitting on us. And he goes, well, actually, I drafted that team.
Oh,
so
geez. That's funny.
So he's like, don't give my dad all the credit. He goes, I drafted that team. Give me your email address. Yeah, I'm like, give me your email address, mate. Yeah. We'll have to get you in next year.
Yeah, he can, you know, he can gladly play. You know, that would be nice to have another guy we know is going to be consistent and around and all that fun stuff. So,
yeah, you know, he doesn't play just to get to keep us in line for a recommendation or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, when he needs something. I haven't received one of those emails in a while.
For
so
reference.
I guess he likes that job. So yeah.
Reference.
You know, that's always funny. I always know what's going on when I get one of those emails. It's like, hey, like, wait, who are you? I haven't talked to you when, but I'll play in your fantasy leagues as long as you give me a good referral. Oh, so are you gonna check out either of the two games tonight, or are you gonna stick to baseball?
Well, my father-in-law's still with us, and he wants to go to the pizza place. So,
oh,
so whichever, whoever or whatever's on TV, there I'll be checking out.
So yeah, because you know, obviously, like. To me, the first game, like, I put it on the TV and the, you know, the Roku TV you got me here just kind of have it on. But I don't know, you know, if there are the Jets and the Lions, that's not a big game of interest to me. And, it's, you know, and especially since I've locked up both my fantasy games this week, you know, I don't have much interest there. I am a little more interested in the second game because I think the Rams could be you know, really a Super Bowl contender in the NFC, even though oddly I did see you and I both went with the Vikings. That was kind of funny in the way that kind of shit shook out. Yeah.
I didn't look at it.
We actually have the same Super Bowl. We have the Vikings beating the Patriots. So, I think the only difference is I have them going as a wild card team because I have Green Bay winning the division and you have them winning the division. So, that's the big difference there, but yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, and yeah, so you know, I am interested to see like how the Rams look, and you know, like I actually like John Gruden as an announcer, so I'm wondering how the transition back, you know, is gonna work out, and I, you know, it's funny because I love how they're blaming Gruden for the whole Khalil Mack deal, but. At least they got something for him when he wasn't, you know, because he probably wasn't going to re-sign with what the Raiders were offering. So he got a really good haul for him.
Well, and, you know, that was something, and I'm sure you heard it too last night, that they were talking about, you know, with Khalil Mack, he's a smart man, and he understood what he would get paid in L.A., Oakland, Vegas, whatever the hell they are now. He knew what he was going to get with Derek Carr having the contract he had, and he knew what he would get compared to with the Bears and having a rookie quarterback contract.
So I just kind of thought it was just weird because I was listening. Well, he did this and he did that, and I was like, well, okay, but he also got two first-round picks. So, you know, they You know, and obviously they're going to be in the top 15 because I don't think the Bears are going to the top 2 years yet, but who knows? We'll be back tomorrow to do the full version. So thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate it. Follow us on the sportsmedia.com. Check out